This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, listeners. It's Indie Comic Book Noise 431. That's a pretty big number for some of us.
And I don't even remember what issue that is.
And to celebrate 431, we have almost a full crew. Sadly, Steve is being held captive by Captain Canuck up somewhere up in the Canadian Rockies. But we're putting together his ransom right now as we speak. And who is we, you ask? It's me, Andrew, the LA Rabbit. And we've got WWX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
Hello.
And then gracing us with his boyish good looks and charm, it's the Ottawa Otter, Phil.
That's got to be me.
Welcome back, Phil.
Hello. I've got one episode. Welcome back. You guys act like I miss all the time.
Indie Comic Book Noise is the podcast that is sponsored by no one, but we have almost complete remit to talk about whatever we like with regards to comic books and related tie-in properties. We often talk about movies, TV shows, video games, other licenses. Sometimes they can involve the big two if it's a co-joint project. Also, sometimes, I mean, we really have a wide ambit. Indie could be the comic book you just published in your own basement that you sold to Kevin at some strange convention, all the way up to Image, who really is probably like the number two publisher at this point.
Whoa. What about those Japanese companies?
Yeah, they count too. They're not Marvel or DC.
But there might be number two.
Well,
yeah, their sales are pretty good.
I'm just talking in the greater Canada area.
Oh, okay.
You can find old episodes at Indie Comic Book Noise. You can also locate the podcast on Twitter under Indie Comic Book N. Indie is IE. There is a Facebook page. Indie Comic Book Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network, which is a great network. We have other sister shows like Marvel Noise that you'll sometimes hear Kevin and I on, and used to be able to hear Phil on if you want to dial up some old episodes. Also, more shows than you can shake a stick at. They got everything covered there, so check out the fine other podcasts.
Well, what about Scholastic?
I don't think that's one of the podcasts. It would probably be Scholastic Noise.
the true pub number one publisher of the industry.
And we also have our own individual handles, but you'll probably get enough of us talking as it is. But you can look us up on the Twitters. Except for Phil. I mean, he's on the Twitter, but he's never on.
But
the Twitter.
I don't even know my login, and I'm too lazy to ever figure it out.
All right, boys. I have at least one thing that I have to get to, but I can take a back seat if one of you two want to jump in.
Kevin, I think it means you.
Oh, I thought because you're here, you would kick everything off.
No, because I got to go grab my pile of comics still, so it's probably better you go first.
Okay.
That's a lie.
I don't know if this is going to be as extremely upbeat and positive as that other episode. But,
speaking of the other episode, when you guys were talking about Attack on Titans, you guys were saying that special effects were just like a giant hand coming down and stuff. My favorite
I haven't seen the movies.
I love those live action movies. I know I'm the only one in the world, but it's because of how they do the special effects. Like the giants look so creepy and stuff, and they're pretty well done.
I still think Hollywood would totally like waste a lot of time with a lot of full bodied titans running around. Like they might forget some of the intricate plot stuff and just say, "Hey, Titans."
I think Phil's pointing out, though, that the actual movies that were released were good. According, as opposed to you thinking of some hypothetical movie, he's actually saw the real movies, which I guess you haven't seen, Kevin?
No, but I know Dan the Leaf Insect Man always has reports And I don't remember him saying it was a great movie.
Oh, I'm sure they're not. But I, out of all the three mediums for that title, that's what I like the best.
Whoa. That's crazy.
You don't need to back down, Phil. Kevin's giving you like a third hand review. Hey,
I've already embarrassed myself with Ginger Dead Man, remember?
I gave my copy away, and let me tell you, when he read it, he commented on to me.
Some of the things I've talked about, I can't go any more downhill than I am.
I think the anime is pretty well received.
Yeah, well, it's all the same, pretty much. Like, they're all loyal to the comic.
I'd have to see the movie. I kind of feel like the movie's
a little different, but for the most part, it's loyal.
Okay.
But obviously, they have to like skip some stuff or whatever, you know.
Like, it seems like they do more of the panel per panel thing.
I think the giants look the best in the live action compared to any of the other mediums.
Really? I find they look real creepy animated.
That's why I like the real versions, because they do such a good job.
There's no way they got to the crawling guy or anything, though.
I don't remember the crawling guy, so I'm not sure.
There's just a hand coming down. Like, they probably only got to the hand.
Oh, No. Well, they had the main character turn into one, and then he fought the other guy there with the hand, probably. But don't they all have hands?
But the movie was a few years ago, so... Like, they probably didn't have as much anyways. They had the armored and colossal, maybe?
I don't know. I'm not that much of a nerd like you with it.
Oh, jeez, Phil. You're the one who saw it.
I enjoy this. One guy who hasn't seen the movie, the other guy who barely remembers it, discuss the finer points of which is better.
You're really selling it.
Anyway, go on. What's your review?
You were telling us how wrong we were. That's all I recall.
Well, I'm just saying I enjoyed the movies.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I wanted to point out this is a thing that has a bit of a time stamp. It's a Kickstarter. We haven't reviewed one of these in a while, and it's not actually the Kickstarter reward that we're better at reviewing, but it's a Kickstarter ongoing, which will end September 11th, 2019. So the interesting thing is it's currently already met its pledge goal, and there's still a good amount of time left, so it should make the funding. And this is a Kickstarter from Matt Kent, Brian Hurt, and Marie Enger. And some of you may recall, I know I backed the Kickstarter Matt Kent did for the Mind Management read-along book and audio. Kevin, I don't know if you backed that or not.
No,
I think it's the whole series.
I was caught in the dilemma of having to pay way more for it or get a digital thing. I guess I should just get the digital all the time. There always has to be something else. Like, I'm like, oh, is there a sketch or something? Otherwise, it's not worth my while.
Well, I was going to tell people, in all likelihood, because of the people associated and the fact it's met its goal, you'll probably be able to buy this separately from stores and different outlets. I have to think with these kind of named creators, it's going to be enough that they'll be, you know, usually a publisher will pick this up after the fact. But it's called The Heck Treasury, which is a deluxe hardcover of all new sci-fi fantasy themed stories. Again, from Matt Kent, Brian Hurt, and Marie Enger. So I decided I would back it and get the special deluxe edition. Just because, as I said, if you're just going to get it, you can probably get it at some store or whatever further down the line. So I got the one that's only going to get released through this. But I think that Matt Kent's done a lot of clever, creative printing items. And the pitch for this was supposed to be all kinds of interesting ideas, not just in the stories, but how they're going to tell the stories. And we've already seen Matt Kent with the read-along book. And I think, Kevin, you talked about the page that burned and revealed secret writing and various other fun things he's seen.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be one of those books that's not just a fun read, but has you know, they say there's full color art and folding posters and secret formats. And I remember in Mind Management, there are the codes that run along the top and things like that. So I'm just expecting a lot out of this thing. And it seems like it's fun and it seemed like a cool project. And Matt Kent's pretty safe. And I also like Brian Hurt. So, you know, it seemed like a safe bet. But like I said, with it passing, probably get it elsewhere. But if you do want some of those bonuses, like the Kickstarter only, or, you know, book plates and signatures or original art, that sort of thing, those are all going to be in the Kickstarter as well.
Like, I probably could order it up, but I don't know. It's just,
like I said,
it's just the whole thing, right?
You're going to see it at, I'm sure, from whenever the publisher gets out. It's only if you wanted any of those extras. Interesting. But anyways, heck. And they say, what if Heavy Metal, The Twilight Zone, and McSweeney's had a baby?
Well, I like two out of three of those things.
Same here.
What was the last one?
McSweeney's.
The McSweeney's is probably the indie guy taking a piss off of a tree or something.
That's the part I don't. McSweeney's doesn't really. My wife really likes it, but never. She finds it very funny. But I love Heavy Metal and Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And I don't mind an outside look at stuff. So Heck Treasury on Kickstarter, or like I said, you can wait and it'll probably get picked up. I mean, you never know, but come on, these are big names.
Hit that name, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I mean, Dark Horse is probably likely to get it if IDW doesn't or something.
Well, he must have a good relationship with them, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that other one ever came out.
What other one?
I think there was a couple different things he did that never came out in any other place yet.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. We'll see.
I mean, I like Matt Kent, but I don't have everything he's ever done or don't. I just feel like he gives you good value. He's an interesting storyteller. Always cool stuff going on.
He's always been creative and coming up with all these different things. Can I just throw in a quick Kickstarter rant?
Sure.
I keep on getting emails. Like 5 years later and like multiple emails. Stop sending me emails.
Well, can't you just unsubscribe?
No. It's like you can't get out of it. Oh. And then you get messages and emails. It's like, stop. Maybe once send me a thing, but after that, stop it.
Well, set it so it goes to your junk or whatever.
Ugh, I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to create a filter specifically for that.
I guess you don't do Kickstarter anymore.
I do, but it's just not that often. And usually it's for something physical. I don't buy the digital that often. You know what happens with digital, right? It goes into that folder, and then you look through it like 6 months later. Oh yeah, I have all this stuff. So it's just better if I don't.
How do you think I feel? I'm a super backer. Do you know how many emails I get for being a super backer from Kickstarter?
Imagine, yeah.
If you're like actively involved in a cool campaign, and like someone's showing you, like, hey, this is how the action figure is worked out. Like, that's cool in the moment. I love that stuff. But, like, 5 years later, I'm just like, no. No. Like, that's way past the expiry point. Okay, Phil, what do you have?
I've read quite a bit lately. One thing I've been doing, I know I'm an idiot for doing this, but because I have all the issues for these, but I've, for a pretty good price, though, because they're cheap anyway to begin with, I got some of the Image Archive books. Like some of the Savage Dragon ones and the Noble Cause ones, which I have all in issues also. But they're just these, like the Noble Cause is just two big giant books, and they're black and white. That's why they're so cheap.
They're like the essentials, right?
Yeah. And I read the Savage Dragon ones, and it was fine reading them black and white. It was just an easy way for me to read that run again, you know?
Yeah.
And I just started Noble Causes today, and I'm enjoying that too. I'm sure Noble Causes, I feel like I'd like the color better, but it's just nice having it in one big book. And I've also picked up, have you guys ever heard of 100% biodegradable comic collection?
No.
No, it was an online comic, I believe. But this, I got 5 volumes of that, which collects not everything. I think there was like 26 issues or something like that, but it collects a bunch of the stories because it's an anthology, like sci-fi and horror. And for the most part, a lot of them were pretty fun.
I do love how you go big, Phil. I'll buy like one or two issues, and you're like, I'll buy all the volumes.
They were only $9 a volume, like 108 pages, I think, each. So it's not like it was it wasn't breaking the bank, you know?
Yeah, but that's just a lot to commit. Like, it's not the bank so much as I got piles of comics.
I am bad like that sometimes, but I do love anthologies. So whenever I see like a sci-fi or horror one, I'll definitely grab it up. And otherwise, this is something, you know, you'd have to read digitally. So it's nice that they, it looks like they came out recently from what I can see, like all of them at once kind of thing. I've also read, have you guys ever heard of Copra?
Yeah. Oh my God. Kevin is a fiend for that.
Oh, really? Yeah, this is my first time. I never even heard of it, but I picked up the first book, which is really nice. It's like, it's nice. I like the paper stock and everything. I'm only about maybe 3 issues in, but yeah, from what I can tell, it's basically a Suicide Squad book. With, like, there's even a character that looks like Deadshot, and Punisher, Doctor Strange character, and his ex-girlfriend, Clea, whatever it is.
It is so close. Like, he basically just... he just filed a few numbers off. Oh, it's something different. It's pretty much Black Hammer. Hey, there's a Black Hammer reference.
Mm-hmm.
And like when he used like the Endless, but it wasn't the Endless. Like, it is so close to like the Thing that you're like, I can't believe this isn't the Thing. I can't believe this is not Butter.
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed it so far. There's 5 volumes in total. I don't know if it's still going.
They just reprinted them all from Image because a new...
Yeah, this is the old trade, but it has the Image sticker they stuck on the back. So I think they're just using the old trades. Yeah.
Does it say Bergen Street Press on it?
Yeah, it's a Bergen Street Press book.
Wow.
And the only place it has an Image sticker is on the back, which they put over the back. But otherwise, on the spine, it still says Bergen Street.
Well, they weren't going to burn those books, so they, you know, yeah. No. Image got the rights to it. They were just
I just assumed that is crazy.
I'm hoping the other ones are like this too, because I want the same paper stock and the feel on the cover.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about it. Like, since it's Image, how different it was, but it sounds
maybe
very close then.
Well, maybe it's because they're trying to get rid of a stock and then they're going to print.
Maybe.
Or,
it would make sense that they would take over the stock, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's, yeah. Because, it won't be nice if they don't all match. But it is weird the way to do it, eh? But I guess maybe they bought the company or something, or?
It was like a comic shop and like sort of small publisher.
I ordered off Amazon, but yeah, that's how it came.
Yeah. Like, it's weird because it was, like, that's pretty small press, but it was still in the Diamond catalog, so I was able to order up the volumes, which is awesome.
Yep.
Well, like,
it must have been, like, just enough to meet the Diamond order minimums.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right in, you know, it's a superhero thing, plus Fife got the G.I. Joe job, and, like, it's not like they're, I mean, yes, it's small and obscure, but it's not unheard of. Somebody who's just done a zine that no one reads and doesn't have any other,
on Amazon.
Any other industry cred. I think once he started getting other work, like I said, and didn't he also do
Bloodstrike, Todd McFarlane recently?
Yeah, an Image thing. So
Rob Liefeld, yep.
Yeah, so and that and the G.I. Joe and everything. So yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the circle is back around. Yeah, there's an ongoing series. I think it's in the latest Previews magazine that Andrew doesn't acknowledge, but we'll be here in a few months. So I'm looking forward to that.
What is it?
It's just called Copra.
Oh.
Like, he didn't change the name, right? Like, I don't know. You'd think they would be like, some other name, and like, no. It's the same thing. New number one, though, so it's not, like, continuing. So, there's that, I guess.
And another thing I read was the first, I got the second book recently, it just came out, but the first book of The Adventure Zone. Have you ever heard of that podcast? It's a D&D one with a bunch of three brothers and their dad, and it's like it's a comedy one that they make up themselves.
No,
very popular, great podcast. Definitely the best, I'd say the best D&D podcast. And yeah, they turned it into comic books, and first book was great. Just getting ready to start the second book now. It's done by second, is it? You know, they have like I like that company.
They're a big publisher, actually, even though they don't carry floppies, I think, that much. They're a big,
I like their books.
They sell a lot of books in the bookstores.
They're one of the they're kind of a book publisher.
Yeah, like I remember picking up one book from them by Daryl Ample or whatever. I forget his name. But, it's one of my favorites for sure. But, yeah, I find everything I read from them I tend to like. And, I guess that's it.
That's it. Wow.
Other than the Boys TV show, if you guys have seen that.
Saw the promos, and when I click, I'm currently watching the old horror soap opera Dark Shadows on Prime.
Oh, okay.
So when I get caught up on that, I'm going to probably move on over to to the Boys. But
I've only seen a couple episodes, but it is awesome.
I have like no interest in the Boys.
Oh, I'd say it's my favorite superhero thing in a long time.
Well, I heard people like praising it, like they praised Deadpool.
Yeah.
So I hope it lives up to the.
Oh, crazy it definitely praise. Does. Like, oh, it's great. It's and it's refreshing compared to all this like Marvel and DC movies we get, you know, all the time. Like, it's just nice getting something a little different. And like I said, when I reread the comic series, I was getting bored of it. But the show is not like that at all. It works well as a show.
I also heard some people say, this is put together better than the comics.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very exciting. I think you'll like it, Andrew. But did you read the comics?
I read a bunch of them, but at the time I was feeling it was just a lot of similar. I'd read that whole, like, superheroes gone bad stuff in martial law, you know,
30 years ago. Oh, speaking of which, just today I finally got a copy of the Martial Law 451 that collects everything. So I have that on the way.
That's nice. It doesn't collect the crossovers.
Savage Dragon or Pinhead, but I have those in issues.
Right.
But I do wish it was in there, because the only other ones I have, like, basically for Martial Law, I only have the number ones of the minis or one shots or whatever. So I've never read anything beyond those number ones.
Well, they also had, there was a Mask crossover.
Oh, there was a Mask one too? Okay.
Yeah, there were a bunch. I think they were pretty free about that. But then the problem, why they can't collect it, is they'd have to track down whoever owns those to pay them.
And yeah, but DC usually Eric Larson would be okay with Savage Dragon. Like, you think he'd be like, sure. Yeah, go for it.
But DC ended up, because that was supposed to come out from Top Shelf for years and years. Mm-hmm. And it finally just came out from DC a few years ago.
Oh, really? That's who published it? Okay.
Yeah. It was one of those, I thought it would never happen, because it kept getting advertised.
Yeah.
And then finally DC ended up publishing it. But I assume all this stuff was collected. It was probably just, I wonder if they were trying to get the rights to that stuff and then finally just said, screw it. Like, it's not worth wrestling with all these little guys.
I've been having trouble finding it, and or at a good price. So I think I overpaid for it, but I paid $75. Where I think it was like a $50 book when it came out, or even cheaper.
No, I don't think it was much cheaper, because it's a big hard. It's
it's 450 pages hardcover. But I remember it being a good price when it came out, and I unfortunately didn't order it at the time.
I don't. I mean, I obviously bought it when it came out, but I have no remember what I paid for it. So. But I don't think that $75 is unreasonable. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a fun stuff. I don't know if it's going to be dated, because so much has come after that has similar themes and similar.
Well, I like that type of story, though. Like that movie Brightburn or whatever. I like when this, you know, superheroes are getting hunted by someone or go bad or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, it's a fun for me. I'll always remember buying it, so it's kind of locked in. But I hope you like it. You'll definitely have to come back and let us know.
Yeah, it should be here by like September 5th, the latest. So it's not like prime shipping or whatever. But yeah, I'm very excited. I'll be reading it the second it comes in.
Well, I have a book to tie in with my Kickstarter that I think you guys might have picked up. It's from Dark Horse Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Cullen Bunn, Brian Hurt, Tyler Crook. Oh,
maybe.
I know.
It's the Manor Black book.
Okay, no. I don't know that.
But one. I thought you guys might be into it because wasn't that the team mm-hmm. from the.
Well, I like that. Yeah, Six Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't really buy any of Cullen Bunn's other work.
I've switched to trade a lot, right? So I'm not picking up as many now, single issues. Like hardly any at all. So yeah, I'll so be a little behind like, sometimes.
No, those comics suck, Andy. We've moved past that. No,
that's one I would have picked up for sure. Because the Six Gun stuff I love.
It's one of those things where, like, if you have a checklist or you have, like, the Venn diagram and the Cullen Bunn one and mine, they don't intersect a whole lot.
True, but I thought maybe with the Brian Hurt and Tyler Crow, like, having the whole... Wasn't that the same team, or was it?
Yeah, I think it was the same team.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. He seems to have a lot of horror books, so I just kind of glaze over.
This is a horror book set with a powerful wizarding family, but a creepy wizarding family deciding, and the patriarch has to decide who to pass it down to. And so there's a great scene where he goes into the crypt and consults with his ancestors who are dead. And at the same time, there's a van load of teens, or young people, I guess I shouldn't say teens, who are attacked by a different wizard. And the local sheriffs are investigating what's going on. And then at the end, one of the runaway characters ends up on the property of the patriarch wizard being chased. And the patriarch's like, I'm protecting this guy. He's on my property. And the people chasing him are like, you're making a mistake. You have no idea who you're dealing with. So they've set it up in motion, like the mystery of who are the new people? Who's this family of powerful wizards? And who are the new wizards and why are they attacking people? And it's, you know, set at night and magic. And like people, one guy gets burned to death with some kind of spell. At least I assume it's a spell. I assume all this stuff is magic. I mean, right? What? Unless at the end there's a twist and it's some scientific device. Or it's a twist and it ends up it was a computer program. Kevin should understand what that reference is for. Have you not read that comic yet, Kevin? Do you know what that is a reference to?
The Matrix? What?
No,
The Dick Tracy Forever. So you haven't read the fourth issue then?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. It takes a turn that leaves me kind of cold.
Oh.
So.
That turned out to be a weird series because I'm like, isn't it jumping ahead? And it's really jumping ahead.
Well, number four will help explain all that. Like I said.
He was in the shower?
You can probably figure out from my spoilery talk what happens, but it was
in the Matrix.
Yeah, not the mate, but you know what I mean, the same kind of like, oh, you were in a simulated computer thing.
Wah, wah.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I'm sure that's a good thing, but it really just, like I said, just took the wind out of my sails. I don't like that. I don't know, this is the IDW Dick Tracy Forever series, Oming and Soma, issue 4. The issue 3 had left off with him and Tess at odds.
Mm-hmm.
And then something weird happens. And as Kevin said, had been jumping through time. Well, it turns out he was... Because other people had uploaded their consciousness and then they got betrayed or taken over. So he did the same thing to follow them. So he goes into this matrix-y framework thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was all those weird stories and everything.
Why couldn't you just have those stories?
Out of all the things, and then like he's like, well, you know, with crime and family's the only thing that could anchor me. You never should have put me against Tess, because family is the one thing, the only thing I'd choose above the law. For the most part, I mean. And I'm like, really? He'd choose family? I thought this guy was a Law and Order guy. But
Dick Tracy will arrest him. The other one.
Still
visually, the other series.
Still visually dynamic and interesting, but I just didn't. That was a twist that I was like, ugh. You know, I would have should have just left off at issue 3 with like a bunch of weird stories.
Well, sometimes those comics like Dick Tracy or those other properties, you only need one issue, kind of, and then you get your fill, you know?
Maybe have that's fun. It. Or I liked he's a weird character with weird bad guys. And so when that's all put together, it can be really fun. I just think they don't need to worry about having everything make sense and line up in a way, I feel. Especially with those older characters. Like, they're just crazy, messed up. Like, Dick Tracy's world shouldn't really make sense. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need it to be a realistic drama of him, you know, going to the grocery store, buying groceries. Like, that's not the take I need. I mean, other people may want that take, but I'm fine with the kind of absurdist, he's just this ultimate crime fighter guy.
I think that take where he's going to the grocery store and everything is One Punch Tracy.
It could be. And there's not anything, like I said, nothing wrong with that take. But I feel like we've had a lot of that in comics. A lot of this, like, well, what if superheroes were real? What if superpowers were, what if everything, let's make it as realistic as possible. So I'm fine to explore it the other way where, you know, let's not worry about the physics and the math of it all and just tell a ripping good yarn that harkens back to an earlier era. But I'll be interested when you get Dick Tracy Forever, Kevin, what you think. Maybe you'll be like, oh my God, Sanford, you fool, you're missing out. It ties it all together beautifully. Everything makes sense. All the layers come back together.
It's book of the year. That could have been a good segue, but I don't have a book that's book of the... Well, I shouldn't say that. Who knows? I mean, it's all number ones. Only number ones this episode.
Well, I also wanted to say, I'm sure you know, Di is back.
It left?
Yeah, I thought it took a big break.
I don't think so.
Because I just picked up number 6, and shouldn't there have been... I feel like there was a break in there between 5 and 6.
I fell behind, so I'm not sure. Did you see his other book, Gillen's other book? It's like something like 4th printing, and the issue is not even out yet, or some ridiculous press release. I'm like, why would you... Now, maybe I don't know... This is where I don't know the publishing industry, right? But say they're like 3 months... your book's coming out and you have to put in the orders like, I don't know, say like a month before it comes out. And like, you're like, oh, we went through our projections after the first month or whatever. Why wouldn't you just wait closer to the deadline instead of printing new printings? Or is this just some marketing thing where they can say they got multiple printings?
I would say it's a marketing thing where they want to keep it in the forefront of people's mind. And that way they can really, I'm sure they released the information when it was on its second printing and third and fourth. You know what I mean? That way they're keep going like, oh my God, it's bursting through the roof. Because I do feel like we're in a bit of a short-term speculator bubble. I mean, maybe it'll keep going forever. But it does seem like people are out trying to hustle. Not just older books, but, you know, get those ones that have kind of a quick spike and turn around to make money and move on.
For that stuff, yeah, but for other stuff, like Silver Age comics or whatever, like that's, it seems like it's been forever now.
Oh, yeah, that I don't think is going anywhere. But I think this gambling on new number ones or like some type of media tie-in or some kind of hot new twist... That rare Chase variant, I feel like that's a very aggressive market. Because it just seems like some of the stuff for new books goes for a pretty good premium.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll hold that. I don't know. Maybe
no.
In 10 years from now, it'll be worth 10 times as much. But I think they're very...
Whoa.
I think they're very temporary. So I think people are just trying to hit that sweet spot.
You know, I should have been able to predict this one, but I didn't. But I also didn't buy in. So even though I didn't predict that what was going to happen, I knew not to buy in. So it was perfectly fine. Because you like this, when you have a hot book, you launch another book, like close to your other book. And it's like, people are like, oh, what if the second book just does as well? And then people are always there.
That's
like,
right.
Like trying to... Because you're gonna have the same success, and it's like it probably won't happen. Too much, like people are there now.
Exactly. Plus, if they overproduce that first run,
yeah,
then you don't have the scarcity.
This is
true. I think that helps a lot too. Is that some of these print runs I gotta think are pretty low. You know, and if you get into that, I remember that's what people were saying about those first Walking Deads. The print runs just weren't huge. So they could command a good amount, because, you know, you want a number one, you got to get, you know, out of however many tens of thousands they put out.
I remember having an issue 4. I traded it away for some X-Men and stuff.
Hey,
I'm perfectly fine with that.
I agree. Look, you love Age of Apocalypse, Kevin.
It
was worth getting a copy of Blink number 3 in very good condition.
Hey, I like Blink.
Blink's good. I'm looking at a Blink Marvel Legends now. Pretty awesome.
Oh, I was looking at a Death's Head 2 one.
They're running out of regular characters. They gotta be on the
lookout.
She's
a regular character. What are you saying? She was in a like 100 issue run.
I'm just saying that I feel like out of the marquee characters, I would not put Blink in my first or second tier. I would probably put her third tier.
For like a modern series that went a long time that she was in.
And it was really good at the start.
It was.
Yeah.
And then Chuck Austin came on. And then it was good again after.
And then it got super bad.
Well, some people don't like Claremont and everything, you know.
So bad.
But I have a book.
Okay.
And it's not a Marvel book.
Good.
Do you guys know of Sea of Stars?
No.
Nope.
What publisher?
Image Comics.
Never heard of them.
Oh, you know these guys. Jason Aaron. You know him.
Nope. Doesn't ring a bell.
He might make something of himself one day. Dennis Hallam, or you might know him as Dennis Hopeless. You know that guy.
Wait, does he go by his other name for this book? Does he only use Hopeless for some books?
Well, I noticed in the Marvel books, they put Hopeless in quotes in between his first and last name, so it's not just... Like, all of a sudden you think it's a new writer or whatever. Because maybe you with an audience, you'd have to re-break yourself in. Because people are like, I don't know if I trust this new guy.
Well, remember Christopher Priest, who's now just Priest, who was... How many names has he gone through? I mean, enjoy it if you can. But it just seems odd to be always rebranding yourself. But hey, be true to yourself.
I didn't do the research on his name, but I just assume like some of these guys go by like a pen name, and then later on maybe you want to go by your real name or you change your name or whatever, and then you're like you want to go by that name for whatever reason.
That makes sense, but I feel like you should do, like I said, what feels right. But as you say, if you like the guy, you might not know to follow him. You might think it's somebody else. You know what I mean?
Nowadays,
I feel like creators, at least for me personally, sell books. You want to pick up some books just based on who's doing
it. Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. For me, it's whatever the story is or what's on the cover, you know, that kind of thing.
But then you get like those Exiles issue, because then you're like, oh, Exiles is good. And then you're like, oh, this isn't good.
I got them all. I know. I've been through that.
But that's only half of the creative team. Then you, Stephen Green, who I do not know, or Stephen Green? Man, why do I always screw up that name? It's like the Sean thing. Anyhow. Enrico Renzi, who I know.
And what's it about?
So I'm like, this
last one, I'm guessing.
Just that is enough for me to pick the book up. But then they're like, oh, it's going to be some sci-fi story. I'm like, that's cool. I'm in. I want to see this. So it's basically a kid and a father traveling through space. Like, and the things you would encounter, and like, the kid thinks it's really boring. But apparently they've acquired all these things. Because I think the father's job is to, like, pick up... I guess it's sort of... Oh, but that was around the planet. I was thinking, remember the trash collector? The first early manga I read with the trash collector? Like, I think that has some conceptual continuity between that series and this series. But anyways, the father has a contract, and he's picked up some stuff from this, like, ruined museum, and it's, like, a lot of weird artifacts and stuff. And the kids just starts, like, goofing around, checking out all this weird stuff in there. And there's, like, there's moments of, like, serious stuff where, like, there's, like, issues between, like, the father and the kid and what happened to the mother and stuff like that. But eventually, like, the action kicks in and you run into some crazy space oddities. Which I assume gets going the rest of the series, where the kid and the father will be separated. So, all enjoyable. All, I won't say all in good fun, but it's a good time.
So, less of like the Southern Bastards heaviness to it, or...
To compare with another
Jason Aaron book.
The Southern Bastards got kind of it had that tone to it. You knew something was going down, and like horrible things were happening all the time. Like, compared to that, I think this is more, even though like bad things have happened and are going to happen, like I would still say this is, yeah.
Well, it's good to have another Kevin's Book of the Week pick.
Is this the Book of the Week? Maybe so.
Sounds like. I do have a book I think Phil would like.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Phil's not a floppy guy anymore. But it's from a publisher I've not heard of. But it's Expanding the Edgar Rice Burroughs Universe. From the world of Edgar Rice Burroughs, Carson of Venus, it's Princess of Venus. And it's the company is American Mythology Productions. And I'm like, wow, when you're ripping off Dynamite, you've reached the bottom of
it. Wow.
I mean, you know, I'm sure she's nothing like Deja Thoris, Princess of Mars.
That's not the same company that's doing the upcoming Conan book, is it?
Well, I don't. It's American Mythology Someone's Productions.
Someone's doing a Conan too.
Yeah, well, there's some weird thing where they're not calling it Conan on the cover. They're just saying the Sumerian. But I think they said there's some public domain thing they're exploiting.
Plus, there's that other company doing that too. Is it? I forget. It starts with A, the company, but they're doing like a Shazam or like the girl Shazam copy, like all those kind of thing, comics too. But yeah, it seems like there's a lot of companies like that doing that.
Well, these characters are gotta be falling out of the thing. But this is Pat Shand, Alfred Lee, Emmanuel Ordez Torres, and it's just like you imagine. It's a chick in a bikini with a knife, like escaping. It's these warring tribes, and she gets caught between. Like it's like I said, it feels like a Dynamite knockoff. Which isn't really fair, but I mean, come on. Princess of Venus.
Well, I think Dynamite has some gems in the rough, you know? Like, well, I think they're okay sometimes.
Old Vampirella?
Well, I can't think off my top of my head. Oh, yes. The new Vampirella was awesome. I loved the last one.
What about the new one?
The Vampirellas are great. I love the first issue. I don't know if there's been a second issue yet, but yeah, the first issue was awesome.
The Christopher Priest book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember the artist with Dynamite, though, which is, you know.
I forget who the artist was, yeah. But go on, sorry, Andrew.
Well, this company is also releasing Moon Maid, Catacombs of the Moon, and it's another scantily clad, big boobed woman running from men.
Yeah. So,
they really found their genre, which is, you know, like science fiction, but with swords and people dressed in scantily clad and big boobed princesses. So,
well, maybe they'll have a crossover with Lady Death or someone like that.
I think they should cross over with Deja Thoris, Princess of Mars. But come on. Princess of Venus, I had to give it a shot. It's fine as I described it.
Yeah.
The artwork isn't as polished as you might expect, but I'm fine with that. But if you want, you know, it feels kind of like maybe a first draft at a larger publisher, but not, you know, fatal or anything. Just, you know, how do I say this, Kevin, without insulting anybody? Like I said, they're ripping off Dynamite. So I went from insulting nobody to insulting everybody. But it made me laugh. Princess of Venus. And I also like the fact that the comic book company doesn't have a comic book company name. It has a production house. Mm-hmm. It's American Mythology Productions, not like a publisher or whatever. So there's a good chance.
What ads do they have in the back?
This is for some kind of... It's for their other... they also do Carson of Venus, Pellicar, The Land That Time Forgot. I guess Edgar Rice Burroughs must be. But they're on the internet at www.americanmythology.net. Always a good sign when you can't get to the .com. But they're also releasing some previously existing type material. They have a Dracula, Eternal Thirst of Dracula 2, which has a Michael Kaluta cover, which should tell you it's not that recent. Like I said, there's the 4-page preview of the Moon Maid book in it, too. So, I think this one, to my taste, the art in this Princess of Venus is a little bit more polished. But yeah, you can pick up all kinds of... They do preview Carson of Venus, Warlord of Mars. But my problem with that book is, in the 4 pages, there are no women in bikinis. So I think that one, unlike... Oh. But they talk about, I guess they're releasing Zorro Sacrilege, which has Michael Kaluta cover art, and the Alex Toth Zorro Masters. So I'm guessing they probably bought some licenses to these properties.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. But I've never heard of them, so I just thought it was interesting to...
Well, I'm wondering if this is... Because it sounds like the name of the company that I collected for a bit with... they did Hatchet, Pink Panther, Casper. Like, I'm wondering if it's that company, because I swear it was the same name. They bought up a lot of properties, if it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just fascinated to kind of be like, wow, this is weird, and I can't imagine.
And they do have a couple nudity books, too, so they do kind of go in that scantily. Yeah.
Well, these are the ones where they're always in a, you know, everything's covered, but they're all in, like, really tight bikinis, and they all have big, but like, it's that line where it's not, it's rated teen or whatever, so there's no nudity, but they're pushing as hard as they can.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a variant cover where they just take the clothes off. I think that's a thing too, but I just saw this one and had to buy Princess of Venus, because, you know, when this takes off, I'm on the front end this time, boys. I may have been caught napping with the 800 Deja Thoris comics that Dynamite put out. But...
Well, hey, it's a nice little change for you.
Either that or I'll have to put this in one of my packages to you guys. Decide who would enjoy it more.
Well, hey, don't forget I moved, so don't send it to me because I have a new address.
That's right. I'll have to get Phil's.
So you're going to have to send it to Kevin. Yeah.
I don't think I can send that stuff in the mail internationally. I'll get flagged on some kind of list.
Yeah.
Of people with bad taste in comics.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm surprised.
Oh, no, because I order bad comics from the States all the time. So, and I'm fine.
I got another first issue.
Give it to me.
Sarah and the Royal Stars from Vault Comics.
Ooh, Vault. I've heard of them.
Yeah. This is one of those things where you just look through previews and you're like, that looks pretty. That sounds all right. I'm ordering.
Vault has pretty covers usually that catch you.
Yeah.
Like first issues.
I'm gonna butcher some of these names. John Tissou, Audrey Mock, Raul Angelo, and Jim Campbell. How did I do, Andrew? Does that sound good?
Sounds as well as I would do.
Okay. So, yeah, this also is sort of... What was that series that... I think it was Francis Manapul did some kind of... Like, it was like Seven Warriors or something. I can't remember the company that put it out anyways, but it was sort of like... Like maybe Persian history or something, but it was like a fictional thing. I don't know. It was years ago now, but this also reminded me of something like that. You know, like a good, like, was it Sleepless too that we read? That was like a fantasy tale of another realm.
Yes, I read the first one of Sleepless.
I guess it's maybe a more action-oriented, higher adventure, broader tale of like Sleepless. Maybe if you thought Sleepless didn't have enough action.
Hey, also, hey, were you directing that at me, Kevin? Was that some dig at me?
Maybe. And I didn't really have a whole lot of problems with the storytelling, but there is a moment. Too bad you didn't see this, where something is going to happen. Like, they're on a horse. The main character here is on a horse, and they're like charging, and then like the next panel is them on a hill, like with a bow and arrow, and I was like, is that the same person? Because they like have a red scarf, but then like a white scarf, and this like it's like different from one panel to another. I'm like, are we just seeing? Like, it's not the I think Steve talks about the panel per panel progression of action.
Oh yeah, it sounds like character design issues too, especially if you have a period piece and they're all wearing kind of the same stuff. That's why I like it when they also vary height of characters a lot or body types. Like, you have a bunch of fat ones and short ones and tall ones that can help, too.
It's kind of, like, the same. I think it was partly me, and that's what I'm thinking. It was probably partly me, but anyhow. The designs are good. It sort of reminds me, remember we talked about the Bloodshot design, and you got a world build. Think of your stuff. Like, it has all those type of elements. Oh, and a cape. A cape kind of breaks all the rules, right?
Okay. Like,
you should never have a cape.
No, I don't. I think they're fine. I mean, you know, like
capes
you say,
are cool.
You can have it, like, different colors and help that distinguish characters. You can do the half cape. Who doesn't love a half cape?
And I kind of knew some things going in, like, oh, this is going to be, like, there's something going on, you know, and you're going to have to, like, it's going to be some kind of, like, questing structure to, like, revive something or, you know, that type. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But what I didn't know is that kind of reminded me of the Eternal Warrior, too, where they're good at combat and, like, some other force comes into their life and wants them to do something, and then they're just like, oh, I'm not having this, right? But then they get the visions or whatever, something happens to them, and then they got to go out and serve, like, this entity, this being, this god, and get some stuff done. And that structure, very familiar with it from Eternal Warrior. And I love that structure. Because you have them talking to themselves. People think they're crazy, you know. Yeah. There's two, like, kingdoms
you can relate fighting to, right?
Here. And they're, like, basically, like, while this conflict is going on, they're leaving. And they're one of, like, the top, like, tacticians fighting this battle. So everyone's like, what? You're leaving? And all that. And then, like, interspliced with some history, like, their mother disappeared, like, doing a similar thing. And you're like, why didn't that work out? So the reluctant hero to other beings. And the artwork is really nice.
So you're glad you pre-ordered it then?
Totally. And I think I have a few more issues coming, too. Because this is one of those ones where I'm just like, yeah, I probably should go in for a few, right?
Well, you should get at least the first trade's worth. So that way you can switch to trade later or something.
A 5-issue series type of thing. It might do more. Who knows? And it's also a thick paper stock, too.
I like thick paper stock.
Like, more in line, I think, with DC's paper now, but still more glossy.
Never heard of them.
You're the guy that would definitely hear about them.
How dare you bring up DC on Indie Comic Book Noise? What sort of rabble?
Well, they cross over with Ninja Turtles, so we're allowed to.
And then there's also another moment in here where they go to this village, and it's like, what you seek is not in this village, princess. And I'm thinking of the whole thing where it's like, Mario, the princess is in another castle. That's probably just me. That's probably not intentional, but yeah. Who knows, right? And it just makes me laugh.
Well, you are a big Mario fan.
I know.
I don't know a lot about you, Kevin, but I know you like that. I know you like some Italian plumbers.
This is true. Not without a mustache, though. That's weird. When he doesn't have a mustache, that doesn't look right.
When did he not have a mustache?
There's some weird thing where they're like, hey, this is what Mario would look like without a mustache. And I'm like, what? No. This looks wrong.
I always thought that Luigi seemed the more capable of the two.
Maybe.
That's who I always liked.
So, interesting story of some weird dying world quest building with awesome cartooning. How's that for a good run-on sentence?
That's good. So this is bumping your other pick of the week?
I don't know. It depends what you're in the mood for, right?
Kevin, it's a pick of the week, not two picks of the week.
Yeah, pick.
Well, you're going to have to decide which one I seemed more excited for.
This one, I'd say.
Yeah. I'll be making my comments in the show notes.
Oh, of course you will. And then I'll be adding my comments to the comments. I'll be like, Kevin said this. And then in brackets, I'll be like, he did?
Damn it.
Goes on behind the scenes.
Kevin has the last laugh, as always. But I'll edit some stuff in, and he won't ever notice because he doesn't listen.
I listen to parts. Sometimes I have to go in there and edit something else out. It happens.
Dang it. Now I need to listen to it again. Even if you're lying, can I take that chance? All right, boys. Do we have any last things we want to add to this before we call it an episode?
I have one quick one called Samurai Grandpa. No, not Usagi.
Samurai Jack?
not that guy either. Not Master Roshi or Master Splinter.
He's been working on this.
I workshopped this before the show, these jokes.
Yeah. Oh, great. So we're going to get... do I need to brace myself for a list of these then, Phil? Is that what we're going to get?
I think he has like five more guys to list.
It's like a late night talk show where you do the pre-interview and then you do the actual interview and you're like trying to capture the energy of the earlier jokes. Except you're telling them to someone, so hopefully you're feeding off that energy, right? So this is Easton Deverna and Art and Lettering by Sean Daly. So this is your usual Usagi Yojimbo story? It's an old man, though. He's an old man. That's why I made the reference to Splinter and Master Roshi and all those cool guys. Something goes down where someone is murdered. You do some flashbacks to fill in some stuff. And then he's also on a quest to get someone back. And he runs into what's the guy in Usagi that's his nemesis, that's sort of like a part animal?
They're all part animal. That's the whole...
But you know the there's guy a rhino.
Yeah, there's also the... Was he the one in the first issue?
What was he?
The new one?
He wasn't a monkey, right?
No, I think he was, I want to say, a dog.
Okay.
Or in that canine family. You know, could have been a fox or something like that, but that type hyena? Of family.
Well, this has, like, the monkey ninjas. And you know I love ninjas. Who doesn't like ninjas? I mean, maybe... Maybe a grandpa reading some comics doesn't like ninjas. Because he's like, ninjas from the 70s, 80s? He's like, I don't get it.
I'm okay on ninjas, but I feel like I've probably been exposed to as much ninja as I need in my life.
Yeah.
But can you have a samurai story and not have some ninjas?
They could just fight other samurai. Or ronin.
Or demons.
Or demons. Like a
demon turtle.
Yeah, and there's a moment in here where he sits down for a break because, you know, he's old. And he's like, my back, I got to sit down. You know, that whole deal. Actually, we might be going through that deal.
Or if there's a misunderstanding, they might end up facing off against some heroes on the half shell.
Oh, I love that. Those are good crossovers. So, you know, Monstrous has that, or maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't remember. That's sort of like...
You said this was quick.
Oh, that's right. the cat with the multiple tails, you start running into, like, some animals like that. It's someone that he knows. He has to go on a quest, save some people. And it's, like, watercolor in here.
Oh, nice.
It's a lot of... And a lot of the pinks and purples and that type of stuff when he's going on his adventure.
That does sound nice. I like watercolor comics.
Mm-hmm. Matt Kent, doesn't he do some of his? Or am I?
Yeah. He usually takes it. Yeah, he starts in a weird direction. Like I would say, this is more like. Not like an illustrator, but more, you know, like Matt Kint sort of does that deceptively simple, like sort of stick figure. Like it's not, it's weird. Like this is more like this is drawn. Not that he, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm always at a loss to describe the weird alchemy of Kint. And this is, you can tell like this isn't that, even though this is somewhat in that like watercolor area vein.
Mm-hmm.
But you like it.
Yeah, it was all right.
Is it your pick of the week?
Yeah, I don't think
so. No, we're not going to go down. I'm already going to pick Kevin's pick of the week, we decided.
From I don't know if the mansion was from Source Point Press. I don't think I picked up anything from them before.
No, you didn't say that.
All right. So do we have anything else, boys?
Nope.
All right. Well, insert clever sign off here. Kevin?
You're going to insert that?
No. That was Ooh. Me giving you a hint.
That didn't sound good.
Insert the clever. That's me telling you to insert your clever sign off here.
About Computo and blaming someone else?
All right. Keep listening to Indie Comic Book Noise. We thank you for or your don't. Time. Don't listen to Phil.
Enjoy your comics.
And
comics are good for you.
See you on the internet tubes later.